Margot?
Hi, it hasn't come on yet.
Hello.
Brandela.
Hey, Brandy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening, Cody Stove. We are in section 19 of Parasha Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're going to start at Pasuk 168 this evening, and I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. Are there any questions before I begin?
Code words to relate
to the physical terms used in the Zohar. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm thinking today of something that we learned a while back, that when we perform its vote, we cause the Sefirot of the world to move. So as he was journeying and doing mitzvot, he was causing the Sefirot to move, wasn't he?
That is correct. But it's also as he moved from place to place, he was connecting the physical location to the Shefa that is appropriate for that physical location, the Shefa that's coming from a particular Sefirah.
Was it also coming from the people that lived in that particular place?
Any human action affects the Sefirot.
Was he collecting souls on his journeys?
I'm sure he was, because he was collecting souls from Haran, and there would be no reason for him to stop teaching.
So do you think they followed him from in each journey? Do you think that they followed him on his way back to Israel?
They followed him down to Egypt, and they followed him back to Israel. They followed him from Haran to Israel. He was a spiritual guide, and people followed. He was a Rebbe in the same sense that the Chabad Rebbe in this generation, or the recent generation, where the people would follow the Rebbe in the sense that they went to visit him all the time. Now, we have faster transportation, so the Rebbe didn't have to move. But if you go back 300 years, the basic Rebbes in Europe that came up, that were teaching the Hasidut, the Hasidus, they traveled from town to town and taught Torah. And those travels affected the spiritual level of the people. They gathered souls to themselves. And then when they settled in a town and they became the Rebbe of that town, those souls would move closer to them. Or if not physically closer, because they had businesses or families or whatever reasons, they would go visit them for Shabbats and for holidays. And all of these movements affect the Sefirot. Just as when I started to teach, that's exactly what I was doing, was traveling from city to city and setting up Kabbalah classes and Kabbalah groups in those cities. And, normally the people that are on the class tonight probably didn't come to visit my groups, but you found me on the website. Well, but that's part of human activity. The fact that you were searching for something from Kabbalah and you ran it across my website, and it attracted you, or you found it through Hana, or you weren't even searching, and it just if you stumbled upon it. None of this is coincidental. It's all related to the lower beings, meaning human beings, who are doing actions, whether they're mitzvot or whether they're positive actions, or God forbid, negative actions, they affect the Sefirot. If you, there's a reason why this discussion is coming up today, and because I was doing a section for the Parasha of Tetzaveh. So if you look up section 11 of Tetzaveh, you'll see the exact discussion of how human activity in our physical world draws the correct energy from Bina. There's a verse within section 11 of Tetzaveh that describes this perfectly, why it works. Now, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah, why the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah awakens the shofar in the level of Bina. But it's an amazing revelation. And as I said, there's no coincidence to why these questions and this discussion is coming up today. So feel free to look ahead in that sense of looking at section 11. I may not have yet put the link up because I just finished the section, so I'll probably verify that before I go to sleep tonight. So as of tomorrow, it should be in the Parasha of Tetzaveh. But every action
I was also going through some papers. I was sitting on my sofa and going through a stack of papers and, you know, reading maybe a sentence here or a sentence there so I knew which folder to put it in because I number the parshas by number.
Right.
I just caught this one little line which fits with what you said, and that was the idea. If we didn't have the right Kavanah, when we raise the sparks from the Klipot, and they weren't, there was still some negativity attached to it, that it damaged the Sefirot. I hope I'm wording it right, because this
I would use the word corrupt the Sefirah rather than damage. It's essentially the same thought.
Right. Now I'm curious to go see which bar show it went with.
We've all heard the adage, I believe, the Midrash that says that every time you make an action, you create an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a good action, it's a good angel. If it's not a good action, it's not. It's a negative angel. And most of us, when we first hear that, we say, okay, that makes sense. We'll just, you know, we accept that and we move on. But if you really ask the question, what is that really saying? And you go a little deeper and it says, well, if you didn't have exactly the right action, then the angel is not perfect. So it may be missing a part of its body, or it may be missing a part of the Kavanah, or whatever you did that was imperfect in the action. But the whole idea is you don't even stop there, because what is the meaning of why are the sages telling us you're building an angel? An angel is a messenger between your action and some place in the spiritual world, which means some Sefirah. And I'll just take one more step as a hint, because we use the word Sefirah, and then we use the word world. And we make a connection between the Sefirah of Chesed and the world of Chesed, or the world of the right column, or the world of Briah, or excuse me, Yetzirah. But in reality, there's a difference between a world and a Sefirah. What is that difference? It's whether there's light in the vessel. Because a Sefirah is a vessel to reveal the light of that particular energy. The world is a vessel that has the light revealed within it. It may not be perfect. It may not be complete, but there is some aspect of the revelation of light that means we call it a world and not a Sefirah. And yet, in our conversations, we tend to utilize the word Sefirah and the word world interchangeably. And we always need to remember, what is the difference?
The difference is, say that again, the difference in Sefirah is the vessel without the light, and the world contains the light?
Correct. But we don't say contains the light, we say reveals the light.
So the world reveals the light.
Correct. If it was complete, every aspect of the light of that energy was revealed in that world, it would be complete. But since we're in the process of tikkun, there are aspects of the light of various worlds, various sefirot, that are incomplete in the amount of light or the capacity of the light or the frequency of the light that's being revealed within them.
So is it safe to say that the sefirah, the furrow, is the sparks? It's not the complete light. It's just the sparks that is revealed in the world.
We haven't defined what a spark is.
Okay, I'm a little confused.
There is a term, the various terms. There is a sefirah. There is a world. There is the light. There is the spark of a light. There are the souls, meaning the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. All of these terms have to be defined. The simplest definition, and you can write this down if you have a pencil and paper and able to write it or listen to it later in the recording. The Sefirah is a level of consciousness, but it's a vessel. Consciousness is a desire to receive. Desire to receive is a vessel. So the Sefirah, the desire to receive, has no fulfillment. It's a vessel without light. Now, when the desire is there, that desire impacts the flow of the Shefa. It impacts the source of the flow of Shefa. The source of that flow is Bina. The source of that flow are the Sefirot, or the worlds associated with the Sefirot. But the ultimate source is Bina, meaning the world of Briah. So if you're happy in the physical world, you're activating the shefa of happiness to flow to you. But the person standing next to you is not happy. They're depressed, God forbid. They're activating the light, if we want to call it light, they're activating the energy of depression. Now, we can define that energy of depression as a frequency of light, or we can define it as a lack of the light of joy. Now, I haven't gone back through all of the different terms that I used at the beginning, but you were asking about the spark of light. When we speak about light, we need to add colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
White light contains all of the lights, all of the colors. All of those colors could be defined as a spark of light. There's a spark of red in white light. There's a spark of green in white light. There's a spark of white in white light. Or there's a spark, we've been discussing metals. There's a spark of gold in the world. All of these terms are terms we use in our physical world. We know what they mean. But do they mean the same thing in the Kabbalah, in the level of consciousness? There is light and there is fulfillment. In the end self, in the endless world, there is all light, all fulfillment. There is also all desires, all consciousness. This is the definition of the endless world. And the major learning in Kabbalah at the beginning is learning to define the terms and not just accept. I hear the word chesed, and I know it means loving kindness. But aren't there different frequencies of loving kindness fulfillment? There's mother's love, there's romantic love, there's intimacy love, there's the love of parents to children, there's the love between friends, there's the love between the things you own, the physical things you own, and your perception of them. These are different frequencies of loving kindness, correct?
Right. Correct.
But we don't think of that. If I say chesed and I say loving kindness, we don't take it down to that next level. What frequency are we talking about? Are we talking about chesed of Bina or chesed of Zeran Pin? Are we talking about the millionth level of Zeran Pin chesed? Well, we have a spiritual law that says we really only connect to two levels, or maybe three levels. So I can go to chesed of chesed of chesed. But what is my overall frame? It's Bina. So I'm talking about chesed of chesed of chesed of Bina. In the Esther Debroach, there's a verse before you get to the second Esther Debroach. Within that first paragraph, it talks about the children, and it talks about three or four generations. Do you remember that part of it, or is it is this something new?
No, I mean, I've read, I've heard that, yes.
So in one understanding of that verse is it's talking about the frequency of light. It's talking about the levels of desire to receive. I have a desire for romantic love. But what is composed? What makes up that romantic love? That romantic love is energy. It's composed of different aspects. You've heard the idea that you love the person, but you didn't like the action.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies most frequently with children and parents. But it also applies to your friends. But each of these are different levels of consciousness, which draws different levels of light, meaning different levels of fulfillment, meaning different sparks of that fulfillment, or different aspects of that fulfillment is another word that we use. And we have now 2 minutes left, so are there any other questions?
I was thinking of the two different...
We have questions and answers tonight, so...
Oh, okay.
If we don't have time, if you don't have time, or I don't have time to finish it, we can bring it up in the questions and answers tonight. But go ahead.
Anna, what were you saying?
Well, what came to my mind, so I don't know if it fits, but I was wondering if that did go along with the two different versions, I guess you would say, of the 13 attributes, one that we say in the morning and one that we say at night. Does that
yes.
have to do with levels of consciousness?
Yes, because the one you say in the morning... The one you say in the morning is coming from the Prophet Misa's teachings, and it is representing, we are taught in Kabbalah that its source is in Ari Chantin, which is Keter, one of the three levels of Keter. Then the one that we say when it's a holiday and we're singing in front of the ark, that's coming from Zeranpin. And I don't know if it's in your siddurs, but in the Kabbalah siddur, the one from the Kabbalah Center, they have printed above each of the 13 attributes from Misha, they have printed the 13 attributes from Zeranpin. So when you say it, you're looking at both words in the Hebrew. And you have that connection where you're elevating your consciousness to Zeranpin and drawing the light of Ari Chantin. Now you get a hint at least of the depth of what prayer is actually meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever have the opportunity to pray with a true Kabbalist, literally that's what they are doing. They're making unifications within every aspect of what their words are saying. They're connecting it in their consciousness. The word that's coming out of their mouth, they're connecting in their consciousness to the Sephirah that is its source. This is what this verse said Abraham was doing as he traveled through the land of Israel. now you get to understand, as a hint at least, how the energy of the day, being Rosh Chodesh, elevates our discussions and impacts our discussions. Do you feel awe from what I just said, or do you feel fear from what I just said? And both are valid emotions related to this discussion. But it helps you know where you are spiritually.
Well, you have left me speechless.
Go ahead.
One at a time.
I was going to tell you, Hunter, well, after listening to this class today, you have left me speechless and in awe.
And I have no ulterior motive for asking you that, because I gave both Malka and Brandy a copy yesterday of the 13 attributes, but I was in a hurry and I didn't have time to say that that was the one for evening. I mean, I had a feeling to know it because we say it in our prep part of our class today, but I felt I had done an injustice by not also sending them the morning one. And that's what I thought of when I wondered about the connection. So I'll have to give them the morning too.
Thank you, Hannah.
So,
I will mention that you need to answer the question for yourself as to why we don't say, because we do say the 13 attributes in the evening to connect to the Anabakoa and to separate the energies from right and left. But why don't we say the Arif Antin in the evening? My housekeeper is running late today.
So what's the answer?
Oh, no. You don't get off that easy. I want you to think.
And I missed what you said, so... No.
What I said is, why don't we say the ones that we say in the morning, why don't we say them in the evening?
Different energy.
It's the energy, that's correct. But that's always the answer in Kabbalah. You just have to stay, it's time to start going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
The energy in the morning is chesed. The energy in the morning is chesed. The energy in the evening is gevurah. But it's so, do you want to connect the negative system, the darkness, the lack of light? Do you want to connect that to Arif Antin, to the Keter, or you want to protect the Keter from the negative system?
Protect.
And that's why we don't say it at night.
You were right, Malka.
I just want to learn. I'm just trying to grab it all and tuck it into my conscious mind.
Baruch Hashem. That's the hunger that we all feel to one degree or another.
But it's all of us.
It is all of us.
All of us follow the same.
The difference between each one of us and the Kabbalist, the true Kabbalist, is his frequency, his desire for learning puts ours to shame. Ours is a dollar, his is $1,000, using as a metaphor. Unless you've met a true Kabbalist, you have no appreciation for that difference.
Well, I think we all bounce off of one another. The energy is just bouncing from one to the other to the other. And it's connecting our consciousness, our desires, our willingness, and our love for one another.
Correct. You all have a good evening, and our class at the 9 o'clock in your time zone and 7 o'clock in Pacific will be questions and answers.
Okay.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.